Amen. All right. Come on, let's open up our Bibles. We're going to lay our hands on that at the end of the service. Galatians chapter 5. This is number 6 in the Your Serve series. We've been doing this series on serving. And Galatians chapter 5 is and has been our foundation. So let's go there. I was in 1 Corinthians, so I'll jump up to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13 reads this way. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to walk fleshly and do fleshly things and use that as an excuse. You know, I'm free in Jesus. I can do what I want to do. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm so free in Jesus that my wife and I have an agreement. I had a guy tell me he and his wife had an agreement that they could have dates. I said, well, I think dating's a good thing as long as it's your wife. Well, no, we have an agreement. I said, no. That's not liberty, that's sin. Okay? Come on. Amen? Man, you know, sometimes people are like, well, really? That really happened? Yeah, I could tell you stories that would make your straight hair curly. Amen. In Galatians 5, verse 13, in the contemporary English version, and I've been using different versions, and I just happen to have about 50 on my phone. Here we go. Contemporary English version reads this way. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Wow. There you go. I mean, that can be convicting. Amen. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. That's important. It's ultra important. Here, listen to the Amplified here. Galatians 5, verse 13, the Amplified. For you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you should serve one another. So we're commanded to serve one another. You are been and have been saved so that you can serve. Okay? I want you to grab a hold of that. You have been saved so that you can serve. You have not been blessed with all the covenant blessings that we just talked about, health and you know, provision, finances, and all this, so that you can just blow it all on yourself. And I'm talking about the finances, not the health there. But, you know, I mean, when you're blessed financially, it's so that you can help other people. I've had people tell me, they said, well, we've got enough for just us. I don't need to believe for any more. And it's like, well, you selfish thing, you. You're selfish if you don't want to believe for more. Why is that? Because if you had more, you could go help some other. Well, I know if I had more, I'd just get into sin with it. Well, maybe it's time to get a little control and stop being in love with money. Oh, don't you know if somebody wins a large amount of money, it ruins them? It all, prosperity, the Bible says, ruins a fool. You can have money, you just don't let money have you. Crying out loud. That has just been the argument all along. I remember when I was teaching tennis at the club up in Milwaukee. And I was, you know, here I am a 19, 20. I taught for like 3 or 4 years. And I'm in my early 20s then. And I'm sitting down talking with men that own huge corporations in Milwaukee. They got money like, just you look at them, it's flying out their ears. You know, it's not really, I'm just teasing. But they're coming to me with questions about life. Because they all knew I'd bring my Bible to the pro shop and, you know, I'd talk the word with whoever I could. I had to know where to draw the line because I wasn't being paid to preach to people. That's where a lot of folks mess up. Well, I've got to be a witness. Yeah, you need to be a witness for Jesus, but if you're being paid to perform a certain job, do your job. Don't tell me the Lord's telling you to do something else when you're being paid to do your job. You're to be a witness all the time. whether in word or in deed. Amen. But one of the worst witnesses you could have is to be neglecting your duties that you're being paid for, which the world understands big time about the paying employees and pay, you know, you're being paid to do a job and you're over here chatting about Jesus. You want to talk about the quickest way to bring reproach to the body of Christ, to the message of Jesus, is to start neglecting what you have said you commit to do. So please, there's a time and a place to witness verbally and discuss things. When you're supposed to be doing your job is not the time. Anyway, I had to be very cautious as to when. But if people would come into my office, the pro shop, that was my office, the pro shop, and say, and I remember one day a guy walks in and he's looking around making sure, and then he looks out the way and he looks up the pathway and he looks over at the edge of the golf course where the tables were all seated and where there's people. If nobody was there, I could have told him nobody's there. He's looking around. He goes, "Hey, I've got a question from the Bible about the Bible." he was you know, very young in the things of God, but he's like, "I've got all this money. I've got these corporations." He had multiple corporations, and he's like, "I'm just not happy." Well, now there's time. Now I can't go, no, hold it. I got to give a tennis lesson. I can't talk to you. No, I didn't. I had time, and it was the perfect time, and I was able to share some things from the Word with him. He was twice my age, you know. And I thought that was interesting. But anyhow, I just think it's important that we, in our lives as believers, that we not show something to the world or even to other members of the body of Christ, you know, in regard to the way that we conduct ourselves. I think we need to be diligent. We need to be walking with the message of the gospel in our hearts, on our lips, ready to share it at a moment's notice. Be epistles read of all is what the Bible says. Be epistles read of all. So, all right. But in that, you and I have been given these blessings so that we can help others and serve others, and that's what literally we're called to do. Now go to Romans chapter 12. This is our other foundation, Romans 12. And let's look at verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let me read that one to you out of the NIV. And listen to this. This is verse 1 in the NIV. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies." Listen to this. You're supposed to be offering your body as a living sacrifice before the Lord. "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And get this. Here it is. "This is your true and proper worship." When you offer your body up before the Lord, it is seen by the Lord as worship before him. You know what the biggest opposition to you serving the Lord is in your life? The number one competitor, you say, "Well, it's the devil." Well, yeah, I mean, the devil doesn't want you serving God, obviously. But what is the number one opposition, if you will, to you serving God? It's your own life. It's your life. And so many times people throw the word T-O-O in there, too. "I'm too old. I'm not useful in the things of God anymore. I'm too young. I can't do that. I'm too busy. I'm too this. I'm too that. I'm too whatever the excuse may be," because that's what it boils down to. And we need to be very, very cautious of that. You can, if you conduct your life and offer yourself up to be a servant, not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, but then to serve others and do kindly unto others, hey, God sees it as worship. It's worship. That's worship. If you are out here, you say, "Well, I'm going to help out with the playground," and you sign up to look after the playground here at the church, and you start going out there and weeding the playground, you do that, you do it once a month, and you do it with a heart that's right and pure before God. God sees that as worship, and he counts that as service before him. That's ministry, if you really want to know the truth of it. So many times people think ministry just means this. And then folks start getting committed to in the things of God, and they start seeking things out. And immediately, when they're sensing a call to ministry of some sort, they say, well, I feel like I'm called to ministry. Well, I've got news for you. Everybody's called to ministry, which is service. Everybody's called to serve. Jesus, the master, he even said it this way. He said, I have not come to be served, but I came to serve. And so it's very essential that we get that mind renewal going where it's like, okay, now wait a minute. You know, we only think of ministry as somebody stands up in the pulpit. And this is ministry. It's a call. It's one of the five pulpit ministries, but there's a lot of other ways that you can serve. A lot of other ministry opportunities that you can get involved in. Can I hear an amen? Amen. If you limit it to, well, I'm supposed to be in the one of the fivefold ministries, that's not necessarily true. The number of people that are actually called into the fivefold ministry are not that great of a number. It's a very small percentage in the body of Christ. And God's going to use natural things that he has blessed you with. If you can't communicate how to drive from here to Walmart, you're going to have a hard time communicating a message to somebody about some intricate things from the Bible. Can I hear an amen? All right, so you need to be able to get a message across. That's important for a minister to be able to do. And anyway, but the Lord will use whoever, and you don't have to be something special to be used of God. You just need to be willing. But I do think many times people mistakenly think when they feel a call to serve and get involved and do things that it automatically means preaching, and it does not. It's not necessarily that way, okay? So everybody's called to service. Everybody is called to some kind of service. You're called to serve one another. That's what it just said, what we just read out of Galatians 5, verse 13. So let me ask you this. How are you serving? How are you serving? And if you are serving, whatever you're doing should aid and it should help people. It should bless people. Whatever it is that you're called to do, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it should help other people. Okay? That's very important. Here's the thing. Some folks think they're just called to sit. And this I'm called to sit, Pastor Dan. Yeah, you're called to sit and listen from, sure you are in here, but then after you're done sitting, then it's time to get up and start doing. Amen. Here's one of the important points that you need to write down in case you're taking notes. You cannot develop by hearing. You only develop by doing. You cannot develop by hearing. You only develop by doing. How many of y'all ever have ridden a motorcycle? Anybody in here ever ridden a motorcycle? Come on. All right. Yeah, I had one for years. And you know what's interesting about that bike? When I first got it, I had to have my brother-in-law drive it home because I didn't know how to drive it. Okay? So I rode with my dad, and because he went along, he wanted to be in on the whole thing, and I paid for it. But anyway, so I rode with my dad, and my brother-in-law was driving the bike behind us. And so got it home. Okay, it's mine. It's paid for. I'm thrilled with it. And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of know, but not sure. So, you know, you can lean it on its kickstand, or you can put it up on its center stand. And when you put it up on its center stand, what happens to the rear wheel? Comes off the ground, right? So you could literally start the bike, get on it, and go through the gears. And so I would do a little of that in practice of getting the mesh of, you know, because on a motorcycle, that one was one down, how was it? One down, five up. It was a six speed. And okay, you have the throttle on the right hand, the clutch on the left hand, the brake. I would use my little finger to brake on the right or grab it all together. But if I was revving, I used my little finger to use the front brake, my foot to use the rear brake, and the gears over here and the clutches over here. So you got to get all this coordinated, okay? You let out the clutch and you start to give it gas. And if you're not, if you give too much gas, you can be like this. You don't want to do that. You don't give it enough gas, you'll clunk it out. Okay? This was a fast bike. And anyway, so I'm getting used to it, and I'm thinking I'm ready to go, and had practiced and gone over it and gone over it and gone over it again. Drove down the street to the corner, got to the corner, and kind of had a slight little panic, and I rolled through the intersection. And I was smart enough to say, "You dummy. Had there been a car coming, you could have gotten killed. Go back." Well, my point is, you can practice and sit there and do it, but until you actually get on the road and start actually driving the thing and having somebody help you with it, you know, you only are going to learn by doing it. It's one thing to have the wheel up off the ground sitting on a kickstand. Boy, am I riding this thing. Man, I mean, yeah. Same way with driving a car. You take your driver's ed and you pass the test, and then you get in the car. And then it gets, all of a sudden, it all becomes real. It's different. Flying, I don't care what it is. It's different. All of that is different than when you start doing something, okay? So it's important that you understand you need to be doing something, not just hearing. That's why just sitting involves just hearing. You need to hear, but then you need to, in turn, do. Okay? Now, let's go to John. No, let's not go to John. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. So who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? We asked that question weeks ago in this. And by the way, the title of this message is, "Here I Am, Ready to Serve." So I asked you the question weeks ago, who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? And a lot of people think it's the pastor who's supposed to do all the work. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, or some of the ministers, let's just put it that way. Verse 11, Ephesians 4 verse 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So, he gave these five, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? Look at verse 12. What does it say? For the perfecting of the saints. You see that. For the perfecting of the saints. So who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? Well, everybody is. Everybody's called there. Everybody's supposed to be involved. That's why it says serve one another in Galatians chapter 5. Very, very vital. In the NIV, in verse number 12 in the NIV, it reads, "Prepare the people for works of service." So the job of the fivefold ministry is to prepare the people to go out and serve. And so what do we have in a lot of churches? We have 98% of the people sitting and soaking and just a few people doing things within the body. And it's been that way in so many churches, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be the other way around. Everybody's doing something. The ministers are teaching the word. You remember when, who was it in the book of Acts, when the disciples said in chapter, where was it? You went there and now you don't know the verse. It's, was it? I'll find it. 14 maybe, where they were, they didn't leave the tables. They didn't want to leave to serve tables. It's earlier than that. Is it 6? Come on, somebody help me out here. It's chapter 6. Chapter 6. When the murmuring arose, and the disciples said in verse 2, "It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." You remember that? Okay, Acts chapter 6, verse 2. That right there should clue people in that the duty of the ministry, that what we call the ministry, these different pulpit ministries, is to teach the word and equip the saints for the saints to do it. The pastor shouldn't be the only one who counsels. Do you hear me? There are a number of you in this church body that are very, very capable of counseling people in the Word of God. Come on. There are a whole lot of you that have giftings and are good. It shouldn't just be the pastor who goes and visits people and prays for people. There are people in the body that can be doing that, that have developed in the things of God and are being used of the Lord in a lot of ways. So these opportunities need to be afforded to you, and you need to start stepping out in some area. You say, well, I can't do those things. Yeah, well, could you clean? I mean, we put a lot of stock in keeping this church building clean. Can you trim bushes? If you're doing it as unto the Lord, it's ministry. Get this idea out of your head that ministry is only the guy in the pulpit. That's really wrong. So a lot of times when people want to be in ministry, it's because they want to get in front of people. And that's never should be the motivation. It's either in your heart from the Holy Spirit or it isn't. Okay? But there are a lot of things that a person can do. And I will tell you this, that you'll never be happy and never truly fulfilled if you're not doing some kind of spiritual service that's helping somebody else. And again, it can be taking care of the flower beds. It could be, you know, helping maintain things in the building. You're having an effect. You're doing something. You're serving in some way, using a gifting that God can use you to help out in the work of the Lord. It's not all spiritual. I think a lot of times people don't see that. It's not all spiritual. The what I do up here on a Sunday, a lot of folks think that's all I do. That's why you get accused of, oh, you work one day a week. You know. Or 2 days. And then just for a very short period of time. The rest of the time is playtime. No. I was telling somebody the other day, I don't get as much exercise of late as I really want. I need more. But I have not been getting all that I should, and I know that. So, and a lot of that is due to things I have going here. But fact is, we need you involved. Now you say, well, something as simple as giving a cup of cold water. I think about the guys bring me water here, and somebody said, well, that's ministry. Yeah, Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 42, that you'll never lose your reward. That is very, very serious in the eyes of God. When you do it with a right heart, that's not ministry. You need mind renewal. You really do. You need to have your mind renewed to what the Word actually calls ministry. It's service. It's serving. It's serving. And it's not necessarily just the Word of God. It can be serving a cup of water. If your heart is right, serving a cup of water is as serious as serving the Scriptures. Come on. This is where we need to understand that God's not saying Pastor Dan is more special than everybody else at Solid Rock Church. That is a lie. I am not. I am one of you. Amen. My duties are a little different, but not everybody's called to do this. Okay. Come on, let's move on. We'll get through this message today. I vowed I wasn't going to preach as long as I preached last week. You better move it, man. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. Come on. I'll tell you, it's important that we understand that we are called as believers to be in the army of the Lord. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Look at this. Faithful men, and there's no actual sex indicated there. It's faithful people who shall be able to teach others also. Don't look for the one that can teach who's not faithful. There are folks that think that because they have a certain gift that puts them, even though they don't want to be faithful, that they ought to be used of the Lord. No. Faithfulness has to come before the teaching. Amen. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You and I are not called to be civilians. We are called to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ with a soldier mentality, with a we're going to endure hardness. We're not going to be little crybabies who aren't willing to step up and do the things that we're supposed to do in this tour of duty that we've been called to. As a soldier in the army of God, you're called on to a tour of duty. We're not here just to have a good life. Do you hear me? This life is very short. This life is very short. I just got through saying to you earlier, it's the shortest thing you and I will ever do. The days are clicking off. The years are whizzing by. One of these days, we're going to be home with Jesus. Do you hear me? You shouldn't be afraid of death, not as a believer. Now, the unbelievers, they have a lot of fear of death, and they should, because going to hell for eternity is a horrible thing. But you and I are called here to serve people, and part of that serving within the body and to other believers, that's all wonderful, but we also need to be living, breathing witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That is very, in fact, ultimately, that's the biggest thing. Did the person know Jesus Christ? Amen? Amen. You and I are not called just to be here so that we can have our lives, just be comfortable. Too many Christians are into cushiness. Do you hear me? I don't mean cushing. I mean cushiness. Cushiness. Everything has to be cushy. It's all about comfort. And, it produces really soft, soft believers. If you're putting everything that you have into your life here, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 25, that you'll end up losing your life. It'll slip through your fingers. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it. What does that mean? Well, I've got to stop pursuing my own comfort. I've got to stop pursuing things that are like the American dream, don't you know? The American dream, have money, have this, have that, and you'll be happy. And there are people that have all that and are not happy. Why? You're called to a higher calling than that as a believer. It's not just about comfort. I like to be comfortable. Does anybody like to be uncomfortable? You know, where you're sitting there and you're just constantly uncomfortable. Isn't it nice when you lay down and you're going to sleep and the pillow, you just seem to melt into it? And it's just, oh man, you are just, this is so good. You feel so good. Everything is good. Then you have those times where you lay down and your head is pounding like somebody, a little monkey's in there beating on it with a hammer. A little monkey in your head, Ben. You ever have one of those? You know what I'm saying? And you wake up and your neck is like, oh my goodness, did I sleep at all? You roll over and look and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're trying to get sleep and you're not. No one likes to be uncomfortable. We all like to be comfortable. But as believers, we need to be very careful that we don't choose comfort over obedience. Let's make it easy. No, there are some things in this life that are not easy. And when the Lord calls you and is speaking to your heart to do something, you need to answer that calling. Now, it happened in how many different people in the Bible? I'll just list you a few of them right quick. Write these down if you're taking notes. Abraham in Genesis 22, verse 11. Jacob in Genesis 46, verse 2. So you have Abraham, Genesis 22, verse 11. Jacob in Genesis 46, verse 2. Moses in Exodus 3, verse 4. Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, verse 4. Isaiah in Isaiah 6, verse number 8. Now, those are just a few in the Old Testament, okay? There are others in the New Testament when Jesus called disciples. You remember when he called Matthew at the tax collector's place where he was at? But what did they say? The Lord calls to Abraham, and Abraham says, "Here am I," right? Here am I. The response in all of those was, "Here am I." And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." That needs to be the answer when the Lord says, "I want you to be the one who takes care of the thus and such at the church. I want you to, here am I, here am I." Yeah, but it's not spiritual, don't you know, Pastor Dan? I'm called to be in the pulpit. I've said it before. If you're not willing to do some of these menial things, you'll never get in the pulpit. Well, amen. Anyway, you know how many? You know, I changed diapers in the nursery already. Not here. Yeah. Wow. I know. I'm not a baby specialist like our brother over there, but I did learn how to do it pretty quick. And I did that as a single 25-year-old guy. Now, there was somebody else in the nursery with me, but I wanted to serve. I wanted to help. And they're like, oh, you really want to help? Yeah, I do. We need someone in the nursery. I'm going, oh, my gosh. Did I do it? Yes, I did it. Yes, I did. Yeah. Well, you want a pat on the back? I changed more diapers in our house than I did in that nursery, but I did change some in the nursery, so just so you know. You got to do some things. You just obey. Do what the Lord tells you to do. You'll never be given a greater responsibility if you can't handle the light stuff. A poopy diaper? Give me a break. It's messed up, all right. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm not called to clean toilets. I am the Reverend blah, blah, blah. No, you're not either. Get in there and scrub. You got to be willing to do whatever needs to be done. Amen. Now, and I said, the biggest competitor to you serving the Lord is your own life. But get this, you can't serve the Lord and not be where he is. Think of that for a second. You can't serve the Lord and not be where he is. Yeah, well, Pastor, isn't the Lord everywhere? Yeah, he's omnipresent. Of course he is. He's in believers, not only here, but in every other place throughout the world where people have received Christ into their hearts. He's individually, by his Spirit, in each person. And he knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows exactly what you need to do in your life. He's giving you personal direction if you'll listen. He's your personal Lord and Savior. And yes, he is everywhere. He's God. I'll tell you who can't be everywhere. The devil. Some people have the idea that the devil's everywhere. Now, there are demons all around, but there's only one devil. And he's not omnipresent. And he's not all-knowing, omniscient. And he's not all-powerful, omnipotent. He's been defeated. Our Savior defeated him when he rose from the dead. Amen. Then, hey, he sends the Holy Spirit to the church for the church to be empowered from on high. Gives them a divine language that they can communicate. That's why the devil fights tongues so bad, because he can't understand it. All he knows, when people pray like that, these crazy disciples, they started praying like that, and then they're laying hands on sick people, and people are getting healed. Little children that had leukemia are getting healed. Yeah, but that's of the devil. Let me tell you something. I served the devil before I was born again. And never, not one time, when I was sitting in a bar and tipping one, were we all sitting in the corner praying in tongues. None of my buddies prayed in tongues. And so then I get born again. I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking other tongues, and people tell me it's of the devil. No, I knew the devil. That's not the devil. speaking in tongues, I used some language that was not good language. I will admit that. But that man that did that died. And I'm a born-again man who has God's Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of me, and God has been able to use me. And he'll use you. He's been able to use many of you. There are some of you who say, I've never been really used of the Lord. He'll use you. Make yourself available. Don't serve yourself. Seek to serve one another. As you serve God, he's going to tell you, I want you to serve others. That's very important. Now, so you cannot, where was I at? You cannot serve the Lord and not be where he is. So in other words, you can't remotely serve him. You don't serve the Lord from a remote location. It's kind of like going into the army And you sign up and you go to the AFES, Armed Forces Entrance and Examination Station, AFES, and you sign up and you get your, you know, marching orders, and you're supposed to report here. They're going to ship you out that day. They'll do it that quick. They'll send you to the airport and you're gone. And you go, no, I'm going to the house. Send me my uniform. Send me my weapons. Send me the instructions on how I'm supposed to clean my weapons. Send me my boots. Send me my stuff. You know, send me a few grenades. Send me what I need. You don't serve in the army from home. You don't serve in the military from your house. Okay? You don't serve the Lord from a remote location. Do you hear me? God is everywhere. Yes, he is. But concerning the work that he has for you, that's not everywhere. Listen to me. Isn't God everywhere? Yes, he is. He is everywhere. But concerning the work that he has for you to do, that's not everywhere. There are specific times and places where he is for you. Have you ever felt like you've been in the perfect place at the perfect time doing what the Lord told you to do at that moment? Come on, have you? Well, that is, yes, he's everywhere, but he has specific things for each of us. Yeah, well, I told you that you were to go over there and serve, and you're not serving. You're not doing it. You're sitting at the house. I told you to do this, and you're not doing that. You're over here doing something else. Okay, so commitment, again, your commitment. And we'll close with this, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, quickly. And this is something that we need to be involved in. If we're going to be used of God, we need to be ready to provoke one another. You say, I have no problem with that. I do it all the time. I'm constantly provoking somebody. Hebrews 10, verse 24. The King James uses the word provoke. But it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So what's that saying? It's really saying that we're supposed to inspire each other to be better servers or servants or those that do service. You know, one person could put another person to shame, and that's not a competition. But, you know, if you say, hey, come on, man, you can do it. You can do it. We need to encourage one another to be serving in some capacity, to get involved, to not just sit and soak, but actually to sit, get the word, and then walk in service of some kind to others. You cannot serve from the house. That's not all right. But then it goes on to verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the habit, the Greek says, of many has become. Missing church, not going to church, has been around for a long time. You hear me? That's nothing new. Good, stand to your feet. Some folks say, well, the only time I have the most relaxation is on the lake, and that has to be during church. You can go to the lake. You can go to the golf course. Just come to church. You know, just don't do it during church. There's nothing wrong with you doing the having some activity in your life like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I love going out in the forest. I love going out on a lake. I love going to different, you know, things, sporting events, things that I do and what have you, but they don't take the place of my walk with the Lord. You can't encourage one another if you're not around each other. If you're not here, you can't encourage the person next to you. Come on, I'm not speaking like deep stuff. This is like, hey, you can't talk to somebody who's not there, okay? You can't encourage somebody who's not there. So in order to encourage one another and provoke unto love, or inspire literally unto love and more greater service, in order to do that, you have to be together. That's why he says, don't forsake the assembling. See? All right, it's important, but praise God. So inspire one another. Do that. Come on, let's bow our heads, go before the Lord, and pray. Father, we thank you and give you praise today that we will be those. We will be those who will inspire each other, encourage one another to be involved, to do something as praise unto the Lord. Whatever it may be, you see it as spiritual worship. If we commit ourselves, we're going to do that, and we'll commit ourselves to be those that serve and not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye and say, no, someone else will do that. Someone else will take care of it. No, we'll all be accountable to you and not let our life be the thing that gets in the way of us serving you like we should. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Praise you for that this day. In Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen?